Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. We are going to review Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and my name is Wayne.
My name is Paul. Then let's get into it for this fifth film in the Ghostbusters franchise, but kind of fourth in the continuity of this particular universe.
That's right.
So Ghostbusters : Frozen Empire was released just this last week, of course, directed by Gil Keenan, the guy who directed Monster House, remember the 3D horror.
Big surprise to me. I thought it was Jay Reitman.
Kids horror movie, yeah. And it was produced or written by Jason Reitman and Gil Keenan and produced by Ivan Reitman, rest in peace, Jason Reitman and Jason Blumenfeld. It is stars, I should say, Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, Kamal Nanjiani, Patton Oswalt, Celeste O'Connor, Logan King, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and Annie Potts. It is 115 minutes long. The budget, Wayne, what do you reckon?
It's a pretty stacked cast. Look, I used to say 200 for everything that was big, but that's, I don't know, Bill Murray maybe did a day on this. How about 110?
Yeah, you're almost spot on. Well done, $100 million budget this one. So certainly not prepared to invest in this nostalgia-heavy franchise as hard as it would into, say, superhero films.
Nope.
Thus far, and remembering, of course, we are recording before the end of opening weekend in the States. This is only taking into account Friday money. It's projected to make about $40 million in North America in its opening weekend, or the North Americas. And it's thus far taken $16 million. Wayne, what is Ghostbusters : Afterlife? Frozen Empire, sorry, about.
All right, everyone. In this movie, the Spengler family returns to where it all started in their iconic New York City firehouse instead of some house upstate like the last one.
Is that where they were?
I want to say Midwest. To team up with the original Ghostbusters, and they developed a top-secret research lab to take busting ghosts to a new level, all financed by Winston Zeddemore and his team of scientists. But then they discover this ancient artifact that unleashes, of course, an evil force that can destroy the world. And the Ghostbusters, and new ones and the old one, they gotta get together, protect their home, and save the world again. That's the movie.
Pretty much it is. According to Rotten Tomatoes, this one has not been doing particularly well.
Can't imagine why.
43% of 208 critics' reviews are positive with an average score of 5.2 out of 10. On Metacritic, always slightly higher this time. 46 out of 100 based on 41 critics indicating mixed or average reviews.
Bit of a
and
surprise.
Audiences surveyed by CinemaScore, however, go B+ on the A+ to F scale as they exited the cinema. That's what everyone else thought. What you're here to hear is what we thought. Wayne, what did you think of this version of Ghostbusters? Does it make you feel good?
No, Paul. It's mostly shit.
I'd love to argue, but I'm not going to.
No, because here's what... Look, the one before, the Afterlife one, that wasn't bad.
That was okay.
That was okay.
Look, it's funny because I've heard some sort of, not backlash, but people who I thought really liked the Afterlife one are kind of saying now, it was a bit shit.
Look, the best thing about...
But it was heavy on the nostalgia, and I thought it tugged appropriately on the heartstrings, a la Harold Ramis, rest in peace, as well.
And that girl was amazing.
McKenna
Grace, yeah.
She's very good in the lead, sort of the lead character in that film, and this one, to be honest.
Yes, and this one as well.
But things have changed.
They have changed, Paul.
And there are numerous reasons why this film, I don't think, works particularly well.
Let's see if we match up here, okay? So, again, not Jason Reitman.
Non-spoilers to start
Non-spoilers, with. Non-spoilers. Yep. I will say this. I've never seen a movie with a longer... convoluted
plot,
but also the first act seems to go on forever in this movie. It takes forever to actually get to up past the first act.
I would agree,
and it gets boring. And spoilers, people, let's cop to this, okay, Paul?
Not plot spoilers.
No. This is us spoilers, okay? I nodded off a little towards the thing, and I was like, I'm just doing the nod, right? Yeah. Okay, no, get back on, slap yourself. And I turned to the right, and Paul's just gone for it. He's fucking full on asleep.
I missed about 90 seconds of the film.
90 seconds?
Yeah.
I had to think about talking, I'm going to prod him because otherwise we can't review the movie, so I'll give him a prod. But that's
too much popcorn, too much...
We both had a pretty tough week, to be fair, at work.
Yeah, it was a very long day.
Yeah, and we were like, so anyway.
But I'm putting that on me, and I'm acknowledging that, but I want to be clear here. It's not like I missed 30 minutes of the movie.
If we both fell asleep, Paul, despite us both having a tough week, I think the movie's at fault on some level here.
To some degree.
All right? So, but again, I think we only missed little bits of it, but I think
I've gone back to check and make sure, and again, I've literally missed a scene.
Yeah, movie didn't keep me awake. How's that? Right? So,
not professional. I do want to apologize to Kathy from Sony Pictures for the invitation to this.
Oh, no.
Did it's too good a job of making us comfortable and those lovely chairs.
Yeah, she gave us like event food cinemas, and drinks and stuff.
Wonderfully generous yet again.
Absolutely.
I just wish we could be kinder to the film. Not that, okay, can I jump in now and say it's not terrible. It's not horrendous.
No.
Not, It's not Madam fucking Web.
No.
It's not Argyle disappointing.
It is
It's
not.
Just very, oh, come on. No, seriously?
What I think
you could have done more here. This should have been better.
Well, what I think is the problem is that there's an extremely crowded cast. Like, there are so
100%.
Many people. You just spent 10 minutes listing off the fucking, like, the cast, right? There's way too many characters here, and the movie doesn't know what to do with them. So what you've got is you got the whole family, plus Winston, plus Dan Aykroyd, plus his crew of scientists. Like, I'm sorry, Winston's crew of scientists.
Yep, plus a new ghost.
New ghost. Bill Murray is a cameo, like you think he might be, so they can put him on the poster in the trailer, you know.
Get to that.
If you took Finn Wolfhard out, make no difference to this film. He's got like a couple scenes.
There are two characters that are getting very, very short thrift in this film.
Yeah.
Finn Wolfhard is one.
Absolutely.
And the other is Carrie Coon.
Yeah.
Like, she is a great actor.
Yeah.
Really, really strong. Watch The Leftovers, a good one, which I still need to finish, but so strong in that particular show. I think she was pretty good as Ben Affleck's sister in Gone Girl as well. She gets nothing to do here.
Yeah, that's
nothing.
True. Because there's no time,
she
Paul.
Just gets to be the eye-rolling kind of over it mother. A couple of times,
yeah.
And that's it.
And that's it. And this is why, like, this is, it feels like the film is so choppy that there's, it must be at least 30 minutes on the cutting room floor, I reckon. I reckon they sit there and they've gone back and they've gone, okay, well, look, well, let's just cut that scene, drop the scene of this one. And that's why things become like so, it's choppy. It feels choppy to me. And a lot of things feel just like an afterthought. And I think Kumail Nanjiani, the way he's playing his funniness, right, is starkly out of step with the theme of the movie.
Right, you say out of step. I say he's the only guy that remembers 1984 Ghostbusters. He's in that universe. Everybody else is
perhaps
playing
right.
This weird 2020s version where it's neutered. And remember, so here's my big rub.
Bring it.
On the film. 1984 Ghostbusters exists in that world where two adult humor was allowed into family movies.
Yep.
Right? There's an infamously scary scene early, which they call back to in this particular film. Now it's just stupid and looks comical. But in 1984, when that ghost librarian comes at Ray,
yeah,
that was kind of terrifying for kids.
I shat my pants. And actually,
and then on top of that, we get Ray's ass being eaten by a ghost later in that particular movie.
Yes, right. Not ass. He gets blown by a ghost in the original movie. Like,
I'm pretty sure
ghostly,
all kinds of things were happening.
Yeah, you
under
see his pants getting unzipped, and he's like, oh, I was like, he's getting blown by a ghost.
This is in a kid-friendly
movie. Forget that.
Peter Venkman is a complete and utter creep.
Yes,
in
he
that
is
movie.
Trying to fool a young college girl into like, oh, have you got the gift and your nose look. I'm like, what the fuck? You can do any of that shit now.
And yet, and that's the thing. And yet, that film works. It's not as great. I firmly stand by this, and maybe you need to take this into account when listening to my review of this film. I have zero nostalgia for Ghostbusters.
I have so much nostalgia, I shat my pants.
Well, there you go. So we are polar opposites there. I rewatched Ghostbusters not that long ago with my daughter, and it's solid. It's a 3.5-star film, in my opinion. It's no better.
Look, it's of its time.
Yeah.
Like they all are.
But now, in 2020s, we've got this weird, neutered world where PC is so important that they can't do any of those jokes, and neither should they. I'm not saying they should. But the humor is completely gone from this movie, except for Kumail Nanjiani trying hard to go back to that place of awkward kind of humor.
Yeah.
Everybody else is playing it so straight, and like Peter Venkman's, he is sleepwalking Bill Murray in this film. He is. He's in it more than he was in Afterlife, and he's in it more than he was in the girl Ghostbusters, where he dies in that movie.
But in Afterlife,
this movie, he's in three, as you said, one day, two scenes, he's shit. He's terrible. He's not funny, even remotely funny.
No, but see, in the first one, in the Afterlife one, he was supposed to turn up as a surprise at the end, so him not doing much in it is not a big deal.
Well, I'm not having to go Afterlife Bill Murray, I'm having to go this Bill
Murray. Yeah, so I'm sorry, but with this one here, he's actually in it like all the way through. So,
no,
well, sorry.
He's in like two or three scenes.
Sorry, he's introduced early, shall I say.
Yep.
Right? And then like you can tell he did like 2 days on the set, right?
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, okay, well, he's the easiest money you made, right? Or whatever, right?
He's not acting. And I don't know how much Bill Murray's ever acted, if I'm really truthful.
No, he's always just been Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah. What made me laugh about the show, right, which isn't necessarily, like, what made me giggle is the nostalgia bait. So, Walter Peck, the EPA advisor, is now mayor. I don't know how he became mayor.
That was in the trailer, so I'll let you get away with that, but let's stop talking about that stuff because you're about to talk about a whole bunch of spoilers.
Got it. Okay, fair enough. All right, well, let me tell you this then. So, you like Kumail Nanjiani, fine.
Look, I didn't, like's a strong word, but I think he at least was bringing something. And all my giggles, other than the nostalgia, I giggled, chuckled 4 times this entire movie, were due to him.
Agreed. But this is, here's why it was an issue. Like the scenes that he was in, to me, had tension until he did that. You know what I mean? Like he was doing this thing where he was like, oh.
But that's the original Ghostbusters.
I don't know if that's the original Ghostbusters.
He's doing his thing now.
No, but the original Ghostbusters, the entire scene is that tone, and that's what you're laughing at. This one is like, it's trying to be woke. But
they,
look.
No, they would try. He would turn into a monster, and he'd be chasing after Sigourney Weaver, and they're kind of beast-like. Like, well, there was very awkward humor in that movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In scenes that are meant to be half scary.
But the 80s is like that. The same as the early Indiana Joneses. There's always an element of horror, and that's why it's like, oh. And that's why the new ones are shit, because they're like, there's none of that. Yep. So, you know, there you are.
So overall, look, I just think this film had too much going on. It was too convoluted. Not enough time given to characters that you do like. They couldn't decide. They couldn't get rid of anyone. They couldn't even get rid of fucking Podcast, one of the stupidest characters who's ever been created for cinema.
I actually didn't mind him, though. He's, like,
that fucking mallet thing.
I couldn't barely,
although there is a bit of a mullet going too. It's fucking stupid.
I barely recognized him. I said, is that the same kid from the first one? Holy shit.
Lucky,
they grow up.
Pointless character. Like, they needed to be a bit more. There's no reason for these characters to be. They didn't move with the fucking, whatever they're called, the Spenglers. So stupid. Why are they in New York?
Oh, because they came back to the... Because at the end of the first one, Winston bought the ghost house again. And sorry, the ghost, you know, the fire and
they're from fucking Oregon or wherever the hell they're from. Oklahoma. Oklahoma, that's where they're from.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Podcast? Yeah. I don't know why he's
there. The family, great. Yeah. You mentioned the opening scene very quickly. That is the best... Not the opening scene. Although the very opening scene's fine. The cold open is pretty good.
Yep.
We touch people, they shatter. And, oh, okay. This film's a little bit playing for keeps. Yep. Cool. And then we get to the first chase scene where they're chasing that blue sewer dragon thing.
Yep.
And
that was all fine.
That was all good. And like the family that busts together stays together type stuff.
Yep.
That was cool. We get all the Gary's now part of the family, Paul Rudd's character, and he's, you know, trying to find his place and all that works. And I'm like, okay, this first 15, 20 minutes, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from there.
All right. So I'll just say one more thing as well is that the girl, the lead girl, what's her name again?
McKenna Grace.
I didn't like her in this one. No. I liked her in the first one, but her character was not as nice in this. Or it was not likable.
Because it's the bloody coming of age, 15-year-old. You know, she is whiny, complainy, selfish the whole way through
which
the film.
Which is true to life, but I don't necessarily want to watch it. Yeah. So there's that. And I also thought that this movie, the problem that I really had is it's a little bit hokey. It's a little bit Pollyanna at the end, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Hold that thought, though, for spoilers.
Good, good.
So without any further ado, let's get into that spoiler section of the review after Jack.
You can't handle the truth!
And the truth is, Ghostbusters, she ain't what she used to be.
No. You know what? I should have mentioned this. This movie has one of the most pronounced cases of it's in the trailer, but it's not in the movie I've ever seen.
Oh, which one's that?
So remember in the trailer, there's Paul Rudd going,
oh yeah.
Not in the movie.
That's true. Like,
there's a gag where he's talking with Walter Peck and he's like, you know, yeah, that's right. That's not in the movie. There's a bit where Annie Potts picks up and says, Ghostbusters, what do you want? That's not in the movie. So that's what I'm saying. Heaps of stuff was cut.
Yeah, okay. Right? That makes sense.
I reckon. So that's why you do it. So yes, tell me, Paul, what is it about anything in particular, let's say the ending?
So Wayne, in the opening cold open, the Adventurous Society of whatever the fuck it was, 1904 in New York, they're all dead.
Yes.
The, whatever it's called, starts with G, can't remember the name of the spirit.
The thing.
Has gotten out and then been captured in this bronzed ball thing by this sorceress who turns out to be Kamal Nanjiani's grandmother.
Yeah, and he's a dickhead, by the way, to go fucking selling all that shit.
Oh, yeah, but that's the joke, right?
I suppose, but like...
Oh, this is one of the most powerful articles I've ever seen of supernatural origin. $50.
Yes. You know. No, that was funny. Yeah. But then, like, if you see the setup that he removed it from,
yeah,
there's all this brass and shit.
We didn't have the best relationship. Oh, look, that's the machinations of the plot. That I can get behind.
Right.
It gets a lot more difficult when we're spending some 20 minutes of film time with McKenna Grace's character, Phoebe's character, getting to know Burnt Ghost Girl. And then maybe implying it's a bit of a connection more than just friendship there.
She's discovering that she's lesbian, but she's discovering it with a ghost.
Yeah, and then they don't commit to the bit and they kind of stop short.
It's okay for that to happen because subtext is often more interesting than just going, make them kiss, which they can't because she's a ghost.
At one point the film has her become a ghost as well. They could have kissed.
That whole thing... I was really having a problem with that. So, I'm just going to turn into a ghost for a second and I'm just going to die in my body. I'm like, you really just can't. There's a way for us to do that. I'll just turn this machine on. I'm like, yo, plot armor.
The film wants you to believe that her raging hormones and her annoyedness at being benched by Walter Peck and she's not 18 and can't have a thermonuclear reactor on her back type stuff because it's perfectly okay for 18-plus-year-olds to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
Exactly.
Has overwhelmed her capacity to think logically, even though she's a super genius like her grandfather was, And
look, Paul, no one understands raging hormones more than me. All right? So I get it, right? But I don't think you would just kill yourself, even temporarily, for that reason.
Oh, you might say it's
ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
You might not. I would say it's stupid. That whole thing where she's like, I'll just turn into a ghost and then this happens. And then she can somehow control her live body from the ghost thing to speak the word. I'm like, this is like,
that was a bit
this
ridiculous.
Is real
so
weird.
When you take your spirit out of yourself, your human body speaks, but it doesn't do any of the movements that
that's
you
right.
do.
So it can only do the things that the ghost thing wants fucking you to do. Dumb. That's horseshit, right? So that's like that's why I'm the
there's a lot of those moments in this movie.
Yeah.
My bigger concern though, and the one I was starting to allude to before though, is the Adventure Society all get killed. And, touch them and then they shatter into a million pieces on the floor and that kind of, that's that was, all right, that's ballsy, that's cool, yeah. When the Ice Age, as created by Garaka, the spirit's name, descends upon New York, one, Garaka's in New York. Why does it form out to sea and then come in this dramatic fashion towards a beach in the middle of July?
Didn't even think of that.
Two, how come when spikes, it's so cold that sky spikes instantaneously form out of nothingness and shoot, basically, is it stalagmites?
Between the people.
Or stalactites, which one's the one coming from the floor?
Stalagmites, I think.
Stalagmites coming up, falling, not one person. We don't see a single person get hurt.
Skewered, yes,
through the whole thing. And then, Wayne, and my biggest rub of this whole finale, sure, it's going to be Phoebe who saves the day. Sure, she's going to work out that, we need to put the pieces of the proton pack into bronze.
One of them. Not all of them.
Yeah.
One of them.
Which, didn't they look at the fucking pole at that point? Didn't
they
use
the fire pole? Didn't she cut a bit of the pole?
But then
later on it's full.
Where Commander Gianni's falling down and it's completely whole.
Maybe she found another piece of brass somewhere. But I know.
They look pointedly
they had a shot
at
of the
pole.
Exactly. I'm like, oh yeah, make the pole a thing because it's such a feature.
Yes.
That would be kind
of
cool.
But then the pole's still there and they're still using it throughout the rest. I'm like, okay.
And
somebody did not give a shit about fucking continuity.
Continuity, right? Because the pole is still there. The other thing is, she somehow knows how to smelt in a fucking pot. Yep. Do you know what it actually
takes?
Where
no one else notices what's going on.
Exactly. And you
what are you doing there, Phoebe? I'm just making this, Garaka proof. Okay, cool. We should do the same thing. No. What can we use? Well, there's the rest of the pole here. Shit, but there's no stairs. Okay, better not do it.
She already went to the trouble of smelting it down.
I'm joking.
I know.
Point is, then when they get into the final battle, Garaka freezes all the Ghostbusters other than Phoebe and, of course, the Firemaster or whatever his name is, Kamal Nanjiani.
Yep.
And none of them die. That is fine.
No one's going to die in this show.
No, but the point is, don't freeze them then.
Because
what they did to the people at the start of the movie, who then all broke into pieces because they're not like, I'm fucked. That is so stupid.
Yeah. Well, it's even
find a better way. They get stuck in a fucking room where the door freezes over and they can't get out. Okay, now it's Phoebe and the Firemaster or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Well, I had in that same scene, I had a bigger problem. The way she defeats him is like, you happen to be standing over the containment unit. Let's fucking do some shit. And then somehow the containment unit sucks you in, but then not everything else. And it's like, wait a minute, how did it stop? Why did it all of a sudden turn into a trap? It's really convenient and it didn't make sense. And the floor just all of that crap happened.
It's really convolutedly bad writing, I think, is the problem. And it's not funny and there's too many characters. There's my one sentence synopsis. I could have saved you all 20 minutes if I just had a second.
I'll tell you a point, right? That I think this is funny, right? This is honestly how I feel. The creepiest thing in the film, the most character, shall we say, with the most screen presence, in my opinion, was the fucking ball. That little ball thing that contained the ghost. Every time, or it contained the spirit.
Yep.
Every time it's on screen, it's like, ooh, what's that thing? And then it starts shaking, and then little things happen around it, and everything gets... That was more, commanding than the rest of the cast, in my opinion.
Fair enough. I think... It was kind of nice. Of all the OG Ghostbusters, I think Ray's character, so Dan Aykroyd, had the most to do. He fit the most well. It should have just been him. Him with the with the new cast, that would have been fine. Yet we feel the need to shoehorn Annie Potts, who does nothing, literally nothing.
Oh, she's there like Bill Murray's there.
Bill Murray does nothing as well, literally nothing. Winston Zeddemore, at least he's got the bankrolled sort of second. But I thought he was the mayor at the end of the first one. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My mistake, not his. And he's got this whole side hustle where he hasn't told the original Ghostbusters. Why wouldn't he tell them? That makes no sense.
Yes, there's that. But I'll tell you what else doesn't make sense.
And then we've got Try Hard Harold Ramis. They've just cast that comedian, whatever his name is, James Acaster. to be Dr. Lars Pinfield, a.k.a. Egon, for the 2024.
I didn't even pick that he was supposed to be the but Egon
avatar. It looks almost the fucking same.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But like, here's my bigger issue is that... So Ray Stantz, right? If you look at the first Ghostbusters, he is a consummate scientist. Everything he actually speaks in like scientific talk, and that's his
gag,
right?
Yeah, but he's also dumb. He's
dumb, but he's a scientist, right? But now
what do you think of anything? Stay puffed marshmallow.
That's right. Yeah. He's dumb in that way, but he's always a scientist. The one who was the loose cannon was actually Peter Venkman, yeah. Right? In this one, Ray is like this occult guy. He's like, oh, well. He's like, he's kind of like a fucking... It's like he sells oils or
Ray
something.
Ray Stantz has just become Dan Aykroyd in real life. You realize that, right?
Perhaps.
He's all those things.
But that's not written well. He still needs to be Ray.
No,
I'm not
knocking
him. Yeah, not so it's like, eh.
They allude to something in there that he's had an injury or something. That's why he's not being a Ghostbuster anymore.
Is that so?
There was a brief allusion to it, some kind of injury sustained. That clearly had hit the cutting room floor as well, because they do not emphasize it enough to make it a thing. Clearly.
I suppose he could have evolved into a believer and less of a scientist, but he's still a scientist.
Clearly ghosts exist.
Yeah, but he was never the guy.
It can't be a scientific explanation for ghosts.
But he would always like, oh, this is Tobin's spirit guide. He would actually look at reference material for all of the stuff. Mm. Now it's just like, oh, well, this is some shit. I don't know. Anyway, didn't work for me as much. So, oh, and the dude in the library, the same guy. Why does he still work there? It's literally been like 100
years.
40 years. Yeah. So it's like, oh, but then I still like to see him. I'm like, oh, it's that guy from the library.
Let's go through the nostalgia bits that we remember, Wayne, and let's determine which ones work and which one don't.
Okay. The ghost in the library?
Yep.
I believe it worked. I was happy
it was
there.
Okay, it was quick.
It was fine.
And over.
It was fine.
The lion at the front, that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I always remember the lion.
Did enjoy that part of the film. I thought that was all right. How about then each individual Ghostbuster who keeps coming back? So do you think needing... So Ray, yes, we're a tick for Ray.
We're done with Ray. Winston, yes, because he was always... He was there for the second one, and it's nice that
I just really like Ernie Hudson. I just think he's whatever he is, he just gravitates... Gravitas? You know, puts it out there.
Absolutely.
There's this wonderful gravitas where he's so warm and cuddly and engaging, and you just really like him. Speaking of him,
I saw an interview recently where... Because you know the original of the Ghostbusters? He's never on the poster. It's only the three white guys.
Fuck that shucks.
And I know. And he said, I noticed that. I'm like, why am I not on the poster? I'm a Ghostbuster, right? No one noticed it in the 80s, right? But he was like, the producers literally were like, no, they didn't even ask him. And I'm like, but there's four of them.
Yeah.
You know, thankfully, I know he came in afterwards.
He was a major character in the real Ghostbusters cartoon. Say your words, Paul.
Arsenio Hall, yeah.
So at least he was there.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, I don't think Peter Venkman worked at all. You could cut him. Annie Potts could cut her. There's so many other bits and pieces.
You know what?
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, get rid of them. Like, they're just fucking minions.
Oh, no, those can
they're
fuck
minions
off.
At this point in time. Those oh, they're stupid shit, and they hurt each other, and they're sort of sadomasochistic, and ah, funny not.
No, those are like, that's
even
the baby
mid-credit sequence is bullshit. Stay Puft.
Oh, yeah, mid-credit sequence, you can just leave. Don't worry about it. There's no end-credit sequence. It's just that. You can fuck off.
Nothing about the moving forward nature of this particular franchise, let's put it that way. Will it move forward? I'd be genuinely surprised this makes enough money to move forward.
Oh, no. This is the end of them, yeah. If it was as good as the last one, you have a shot, but not now. Mm. I don't reckon.
So I'm sure I'm missing other bits and pieces as well.
Let's see. There was...
Oh, okay. The funniest bit of the whole movie wasn't Kumail Nanjiani. It was Paul Rudd talking to Carrie Coon and starting to quote the lines. So we live in this world.
Let's mention that.
The Ray Parker Jr. song is actually...
In the world.
In the universe. And it was made in 1984 and they're still referencing it now.
Do you know why it's good? Because I'm sure he worked on this, but his
delivery was great.
Instead of like, you know, he's going to say who you're going to call, but he's like, you're going to call. Just, you know, he's like that.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I know. He's like, Buster makes me feel good. Oh! Like, that was the best line in the movie, right? So Paul, Ant-Man is the best thing about the movie. Right?
No, that's an exaggeration. He's got one good scene.
Okay, but Ant-Man's scene. Well, then what is the best thing
about
the movie?
Funniest scene in the movie.
Yeah. So I think it might
be. There aren't many good scenes in this movie. Oh, no. The chase scene at the start. That's the best bit of the movie.
Not bad. Not bad. And I like the whole...
The stupid bloody remote control car doesn't work.
And
they send up the drone.
The drone,
which has got a trap attached to it. That was cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I think that no point having Slimer in there.
Oh, Slimer was an absolute waste.
What the fuck was that?
That whole exchange with him. There you go. There's another nostalgia beat. Does not work. Even though at the very end he does eat the ghost that was jumping around possessing everything.
Yes, but that doesn't really make sense, but okay.
Well, no, it was because he was a piece of pizza at that point in time.
Okay. Yeah, again, it's just the magic ain't
that
there.
That was the only part of Slimer that worked. I guess you had to have him for him to do that, but that whole...
He could have just turned up and done it.
Finn Wolfhard's character, though, he could have come out of the containment unit and done it, and that would have been a great nod.
Yes.
because we haven't spent three scenes with him in a pile of refuse. Why are they letting him live up there?
That's right.
How come he's been up there for 40 years and no one's fucking known?
Exactly.
Stupid.
That's the thing. All of the beats are stupid and it's like, no, just accept it and it doesn't work.
That's the only thing Finn Wolfhard has to do is get slimed and then resist the temptation to say, he slimed me.
Yeah. I imagine if he read the script, he's like, what the fuck? Is that it? Yeah. That's what I do?
So. How much are you getting paid? All right, I'll do it.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
All right, Wayne, give us a final score then for Ghostbusters, colon, Frozen Empire.
46.
Yeah, okay.
Because it just didn't make it? Like, I'm not going to go watch again. I'm not going to recommend it to anyone.
Very similar in recent times. I'd say I'm a 42.
42.
This is a fail.
Yeah.
It's a two-star film. It's not particularly good. It's not going to warm the cockles of your heart. Not like the last one did. So.
I should mention, I would like to see Paul Rudd again in something else. And I would like to see the girl, McKenna Grace, in something else.
I'm sure
they
will.
She's got presence.
They'll be in plenty of things.
Yeah.
I don't reckon Paul Rudd's retiring, even though he's only 78 years old.
I know. And looks younger than you and I. So there you are.
Absolutely does. All right. That's our review of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Did you agree? Do you disagree? You can always let us know via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on X at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show on Podbean, where we host. Check out the Facebook listening community links in the show notes to get involved in the discussion with some wonderful listeners of the show there. And otherwise, thecountdownpodcast.com for all your links to everything else, including our Patreon. And just a reminder, this coming week, episode 467, the 9th anniversary of the show, there is a big announcement coming along. So if you're listening to this and want to know what's happening in the countdown, future plans, tune in then for that particular moment.
Swing on by.
All right, that's it from us. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been the underutilized but always valued soundboard.
Fuck off.
What? No.
Stop it, Ghostbusters. Just stop it. We'll catch you next time. See ya.
Ghostbusters! Ow! Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters! Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters! Think you better call. Ghostbusters! Who you gonna call? Can't hear you. Who you gonna call?